There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. Coming up at 12:30, Ross Tucker will join us. In a little bit, you'll hear Nick Sirianni in its entirety from the morning show today. If you missed that, we'll replay that for you later on in the 11 o'clock hour. 215-592-9494 is how you hop aboard here. Look, I do this every year, and I'm going to keep doing it until we get him. I want Micah Parsons on the Eagles. The Cowboys are a complete and total mess. They put Dak on the IR today. If I'm Howie Roseman, I would offer the Cowboys 2-1s today to try to get him to give up Parsons and bring him here. Kyle, adamant no. Hugh, well, he wants to get to the Super Bowl. He doesn't want to trade for Micah Parsons, which doesn't make any sense.
No, that's not. I mean, because I just know that's not going to happen.
But
that's not going to happen.
Don't you want to get to New Orleans?
I feel like with the team we got, I'm going to get to New Orleans.
The one doesn't equal the other.
One gives you a far better chance.
Yes, but there are other avenues that give you a chance.
I think this pass rush is they're getting better. The pass rushes are getting better.
Got a pair of Dombrowskis in here. We'll get there with Austin Hayes and Brandon Marsh.
I would rather trade 3 first-round picks for Myles Garrett than 2 for Micah Parsons.
I got you. And if he was, if they hadn't already said he wasn't available, I think we'd be hammering that. But I don't think he's available.
Well, the Cowboys haven't said Parsons available.
Well, they haven't come out and said he's not. You could also convince him. Jerry's not all there right now. You might be able to get him to agree to something.
Well, in fairness to that, they didn't have to say Parsons isn't available because they just added to their roster.
Well, they did. They made a trade. Well, they're stupid.
I mean, okay, I understand that. But the Browns, you could argue, might be stupid for not wanting to trade Myles Garrett. My point is, you can do this without also helping the Cowboys.
So you're too worried about the Cowboys.
No. It's not all that. Like, first of all, it would hurt us because we lose 2 first-round picks. It would hurt us because then it significantly hinders us from making other additions in the offseason when next year I think is our actual best chance to go win a Super Bowl. Building on this roster.
And if Parsons was 30, I'd say you're probably right, but he's 25, 26. He fits right in with this group.
He does.
Young.
He's all the other losers, like Darius Slay.
No, he's out of here. I'm done with him.
He said like Darius.
Yeah, I'm done with him. Also today, we are looking for the best game day combination, and the grand prize is the big giveaway we have, the biggest one we've ever had on the Midday Show, sponsored by Jack Daniels and Gerhard's. The next couple weeks, you're going to hear us talk a lot about this. So if you win today, you're automatically qualified for the grand prize, which, Hugh, includes a Yeti cooler.
Yeti.
Cornhole set, giant Jenga, a Gerhard smoker, and a 55-inch TV.
Do you have a Yeti?
Do I have a Yeti? Yes.
You know what?
Mean the cooler?
The cool, like
yes.
Yeti anything.
When I did the stuff with Kyle Schwarber this year and the yards, we gave away Yetis at all the events.
Man,
the cooler, they're huge. Yeah, that's great.
And they keep stuff super cold.
Yeah,
I was introduced to Yeti when I got to Georgia because, you know, like big hunting group down there. And somebody handed me a Yeti. I didn't know what it was. But, man, you talk about keeping your beverages hot or cold for a long period of time. And now they're getting out coolers. You can keep ice in there for years.
Years?
Yeah. I like to embellish.
Stories. You know what? That's a heck of a cool. And the winner today and tomorrow and all the next couple days moving forward here, the next couple weeks, will win a Jack Daniels rocks glasses, water bottle, golf tee pack, playing cards, smoking chips, and a tote bag. So this is all brought to you by Jack Daniels and Gerhard's Appliances. Best game day combination today will get automatically qualified and win today's prize. All right, 215-592-9494. Before we go any further, though, and we'll get back to everyone's phone calls in a second. We do want to throw this out there. So, look, do I want Micah Parsons? Yes. Do I actually think it will happen by 4 o'clock today? I don't. But I do think the Eagles will make a trade. It's a matter of what they're going to do and where they add. And there might be a sneaky need here on this team that we haven't talked much about. And I was listening this morning and yesterday to a couple of former quarterbacks who get the offensive side of the ball very well. And what they think this team might need, or maybe an area where they have a little issue coming up, maybe they could solve that issue. And that is the running back position. And that has nothing to do with Saquon not being great. He is great. But Hugh, they've used Saquon a lot. I was saying this in September, and everyone said, "Shut up, Julio. Don't worry about this." Well, now we're halfway through the season. Hugh, Saquon is on pace for 377 touches. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And you wonder now, is it going to start to wear on him as the season goes along and they go into the playoffs? Ron Jaworski was on with the morning show today talking about the idea of maybe a pitch count for Saquon here.
Absolutely. I think it's really a fine line. And, you know, you want to see, you know, he's playing unbelievable football. He's having just a spectacular year. But, again, I think we have to look at where this team potentially could end up. They're starting to play really good football on both sides of football. So I think you can say, hey, okay, we can start thinking playoffs. We can start thinking Super Bowl. All those thoughts can come into our mind. Now you put him on a pitch count. Do you want him to get 20 carries a game? Do you want him to catch two passes a game, three passes a game? But the game dictates how that goes. And if you're ahead, like a couple weeks ago, you know, he didn't go back in the game when he probably could have had 250 yards in the game. But I think you need to keep him on a pitch count because you need him healthy when he goes to the playoffs.
Hugh, there's Jaws this morning saying they need a pitch count for Saquon the rest of the season. Now, I think most people hear that and they say, no, we're trying to win football games. You know what would make that easier? If they trade for another running back. Another guy in here.
Yeah, but and another thing that would make it a lot easier is if we figure out a way to get this offense going and kind of spell him a little bit. I mean, it's a fine line, man, right now, because what he's done and what he did this weekend, people are still talking about that.
So do you mean the pass game going?
Yes.
So
yes.
I agree with you, but I'm not sure they want to do that. It feels like they've become a running team.
Yes. It's one of those things, Joe, where the unfortunate thing about when Saquon Barkley isn't touching the ball, and it's no disrespect, but it's different, and you felt it when anybody else touched the rock. The other day, it was different, and it was significantly different.
So then I think there is an idea today that they should go get another running back so they could keep running the ball. And Elliott posted some numbers here which are remarkable. Since the bye, okay, the Eagles are dead last in the NFL in early down pass rate. This is a running football team now. And, guys, I don't know if Saquon can be great in January if he's the lone back on a run-first team. Just play the numbers out. He's going to have 400 touches under his belt by the time we get to the middle of January.
But I will say this. I mean, it is a concern. No question about it.
It's a big concern for me.
But he don't look tired to me.
Because we're only halfway through the season.
Yeah, but still, he looks rejuvenated.
So you wouldn't go get it back today?
No, I'm not saying I wouldn't. But it's one of those things where, you know, you look at, well, maybe we can start getting a little bit more from Will Shipley. Maybe we get a ball to the young cat. Let him run the ball.
Well,
a little
bit. Look, they have other backs here. But I don't know if anyone trusts these other guys.
No, I mean, you're in a situation where we're in a weird spot. We're in a weird spot as far as Saquon Barkley has been the best version of himself since he's been in the NFL.
Yep.
That might be a little bit hyperbole.
I don't think it is.
So my friends say it, but still, it's somewhat close. It's somewhat close to that. So yeah, there is some concern there whether he's going to wear out or not. But, man, right now, I mean, you have options that you could probably start to explore. That's the one thing I feel with this team that has happened. We've gotten to the point where we're in win-now mode. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of lost that ability to like, develop and bring along other players. Because you saw a couple weeks ago, Kelee Ringo looked like he was coming along. And then all of a sudden, he kind of fell by the wayside. You know, still a big fan of Bryce Huff. Because of the necessity and the need of the defense to play better, he's kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah, well, it's not. What's that?
What'd you just say about the defense? It's a necessity?
Did I hear?
No, I didn't say that.
Maybe you could cut that audio. I think you said necessity.
I didn't mean it in the way you thought.
See, it's all coming back out now.
No.
The defense is a necessity.
I just lit up back here.
When Kyle said, when he looked at me like that, I was like, damn, did I say something wrong? I was like, wait a minute, did I screw up in an enunciation again? They're playing better. They're playing better.
Sure
no question
they are.
About it.
And the other part to note is, look, in his career, the most carries he's ever had in a season is 295. We're talking about a guy, by the time we get to the middle of the playoffs, could have 400-something touches. Like, I just don't think he'll... The Saquon you saw Sunday will not be the same Saquon in the middle of January unless they get him a running mate here. Donovan McNabb, he was on yesterday the afternoon show talking about the best running games in the NFL, what they have.
Well, the only way that we'll be able to do that, honestly, Ike, is by utilizing the quick game. The quick game has to be an extension of the run game where we're not utilizing them so much. Mm-hmm. Do I have a problem with 30 touches? No, not absolutely not. Because if you really look at it, if you give them 20, 22 carries and 8 catches, that's pretty serviceable. It's not like he's running a football 30 times. Mm-hmm. But if we're doing touches instead of rushes, then it preserves his body. But then also, too, this goes into account how we play this season. This is when you have to go and get the lightning to the thunder. And so when you look at what Detroit has, when you look at maybe even if you go to Baltimore, you know, the list goes on. Everybody has a duel of running backs that can present something different. And so if we go out next season and do that and alleviate some pressure for them, we definitely can have them for a healthy 3 years.
Well, that was interesting when he brought up the teams that have two running backs. And we know the Lions do, right, with Montgomery and Gibbs. The Ravens even use Justice Hill to go along with Derrick Henry. I'm in on this idea. Maybe, so we're all in agreement on this one after everyone yells at me about Parsons? We go get another running back today?
So
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like I was kind of at one point just take it or leave it. You know, if we wanted to get a running back, I wouldn't cry about it. But now, honestly, because I texted you after I heard McNabb say this, that made me want us to get another running back. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't worry as much as you do about the workload, the pitch count for Saquon Barkley. I think he'll end up being fine, and I don't really concern myself too much with, you know, amount of touches equals this guy's going to get injured, this or that. But I have to admit that it's still, like, a thing. It's a possibility. And getting another running back is a way for you to sort of protect your investment, not just for the 3 years like McNabb said, but for the rest of this year, and if they want to go on a deep playoff run. And when he brought up the Lions and the Ravens, there's that 1-2 punch there, the thunder and lightning thing. I love that he said that. The Eagles are a running football team right now. So not only is it a protection of your investment, it's a double down on your bread and butter. Like, this is what we do well. We should ride this to as far as it can take us. If you have another guy there, like, it works for a variety of reasons. Look, I love the idea.
I know it's different because Saquon's better than this guy and a little bit younger, but LeGarrette Blount was running the ball well in 17, and I think they saw what was ahead. If they kept running him, he was going to be out of gas by January, and they went and got Jay Ajayi, and then both of them ran well in January. I mean, Blount had 100 yards, didn't he, or close to it in the Super Bowl? He ran really well, the long touchdown. So if we want the best of Saquon, sure. Now, I wonder who they could get today. Like, what running backs are available today? I think this is not going to be a star. You're not going to have a star next to Saquon.
They could get, like, a Hubbard from Carolina.
I would take him. You take Hubbard from Carolina, Hugh?
Chuba?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Chuba. And they're probably in a position to sell, even though they did win last week.
Of course they're in a position to sell. I would absolutely take him. Again, I'm looking at the numbers at Justice Hill in Baltimore. Henry's got a lot of touches, obviously. He leads the NFL in yards.
Like 2,000 yards.
But Justice Hill has 21 more touches on the season than Gainwell does. So, like, you know, they're more comfortable using him than we are Gainwell.
Yeah, well, Gainwell and Shipley stink. I'm not writing off Shipley yet.
He's a
but
rookie.
I'm not sitting here going, like, in this season, let's give Shipley a bunch of touches. I'd rather get a guy that I know can run the ball better.
Yeah, or have extra guys. Yeah, right. I mean, I think it's a good idea. That's certainly a position they could go after. 215-592-9494. Throw that in the mix as well. Should the Eagles go get a running back today? Let's go to the phone lines here. Parsons, running back, and, of course, your favorite game day combinations. Andy in Deptford. Hey, Andy.
Fellas, what's good? How we doing?
Good, Andy. What's up, buddy?
Good. As far as before I get to Parsons, man, you got to shout out our young whippersnappers on defense. You've been talking them up all summer long. I mean, Cooper's a stud.
Cooper, the young Thundercats, yes.
Cooper is a little different, man. He brings a little bit something different to the table. He got a little bit more bite than them DBs. And Quinion's a stud, too. I mean, you know, moving forward, you know, in a league that's predicated on passing, I'm just happy that, you know, we hit on them two young guys.
They're really impressive. And I agree with you on Cooper. He brings that tackle he made 2 weeks ago in Cincinnati against Chase was one of the best open field plays I've seen a DB make here in a long time.
He going to have them receivers questioning coming over that middle once or twice, you know?
Definitely.
And then as far as Parsons goes, love the talent. Cowboys would never trade him in the division. And, I mean, aside from the talent, do you want all that other stuff with the podcast? I mean, this, that, and the third. We already see with guys and Kelce with how much of distractions, you know, that other stuff can bring to the table. So it's like, I mean, I wouldn't want nothing to do with that. You
so
know what I'm
look,
saying?
It's not my favorite, but if the talent is worth it, you know, I'd be willing to deal with it.
Hey, so quickly on the Kelce thing, I'll hit the elephant in the room since nobody wants to address it, right? I mean, you're the only one that probably been in that situation, big-time superstar. I mean, everybody's defending him. Like, you know, that college student was definitely in the wrong. But when you're walking through a mob crowd like that, what do you expect drunk college kids are going to be doing? Like, you can't be breaking people's phones. Like, come on,
I mean,
man.
I'm of the mindset, man. You can't be just saying whatever you want to folks and not expect to get punched in the face either.
Come on, man. Let me ask you this.
What gives, not you, but what gives a person a right to walk up to somebody and just start just yelling like mean and hurtful stuff to them and not expect any consequences? I mean, what do they do that?
Do you think Michael Jordan would walk through that crowd without security? I'm not saying Kelce's to that level, but he's a national superstar.
No, and that's what I said yesterday. Don't get me wrong. I'm not condoning what he did. But at the same time, it's a lot of people out there feel like they can say whatever they want to you and not have any consequences. That's a fact.
I feel you on that, but I just think we give him such a pass because it's Kelce.
No, he definitely got a pass. He definitely got a pass.
Look at Michael Vick. Look at Michael Vick. He had to go to jail, and people were still criticizing Michael Vick.
He got a pass. No question about it.
He just gets such a pass. Like if it was like.
But wait a minute. Are you going to let me finish?
My bad. Go ahead. My bad.
Because of how, like, this is the same thing in football, man. There are certain people that are going to get, you know, they're going to get a pass when other people don't. If you're a better player or you're more liked by more people, he's going to get a pass. This is the one thing that Kelce did, and the reason why he's getting a pass is because he's a likable person. I know you know.
I agree with you. I said it yesterday. It could have been worse, and Jason could have obviously done something way worse, but he shouldn't have done what he did. And Andy, I'm not surprised he offered some contrition last night on ESPN because I think he realized he shouldn't have taken the guy's phone and he shouldn't have said the word he said back. I mean, I think that's fair, and I think he knows he shouldn't have done it. He said it last night.
Here's the thing. I got beef when we lose in the playoffs. The next week, you're at a Chiefs game in Buffalo, tailgating, breaking tables, chugging beers. You know what I'm saying? I got a problem when you're in Pittsburgh waving the terrible towel. You're an eagle. Like, come on, man.
Everybody
wants to give him such a pass, though.
But he's like, transcended all that, though, Andy. That's the point I'm making.
The Kelce Project, you know what I'm saying? Them guys maybe wanted to pump the brakes a little bit because they may be stalling out. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Andy, give us a combo.
I got my tailgate combo, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. It don't get no better than being in that Wells Fargo parking lot, D5, with all the fellas, all the food, all the drinks, 1 o'clock game, right? And then going into their link and enjoying the festivities with the whole game and the Eagles win.
Good one, Andy. The 1 o'clock game and the tailgate. That's a good combination.
That's a combo.
Well, I mean, I think it's everyone's favorite. If you had to pick the games at the time, the tailgate, the 1 o'clock is the best one because people get to go home at a normal time.
No, and I get what Andy's saying, but you know, it was a story where Jimmy Johnson told a story about Emmitt and another player got in trouble, mm-hmm, like a long time ago. And he said something about the other player got cut, but they didn't cut Emmitt Smith. And they said, well, why you didn't cut Emmitt? He was like, because it's different for Emmitt. Right now, it's different for Jason.
So it is. Of course it is. I also think that, and this is not just for Jason Kelce, it's for any star today. Hugh, you didn't really have to live through this era. It came right after you were done. The fact that everything is filmed all the time, right?
Yeah.
If I told you, and you couldn't see it, that someone came up to Jason, said what he said about his brother, and Jason's response was to take the guy's phone, slam it down, and then they yelled at each other. You would have said, that's not that bad, right? Mm-hmm. All things considered. But we saw it. We saw Jason say a word that he obviously regretted saying.
Yeah.
There's always a phone watching you. It's the reality of being a celebrity today.
It's a no-win situation. I get that. But at the same time, that young man, like, he felt empowered because he knew that either way, either he get a rise or he didn't, that he was going to go viral. That's the unfortunate thing about it.
Yeah.
Social media has put people in positions where everybody gets their 15 minutes of fame.
I agree with you. David in Westchester. What's up, David?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. I was looking for some mindless entertainment today, and unfortunately, all I'm getting is mindless. Thanks.
Mindful. You mean mindful. Smart, intelligent analysis is what you're getting here every day on the midday show. Go ahead. What are you thinking, David?
As far as Micah Parsons, I like the thought of it, but your proposal is just it's just crazy. Two first round picks. He's not worth that. Not two. I would definitely give up one, and that'd be it. Just one. Maybe switch some later round draft picks or something. But two is just it's out of hand. I mean, if you're gonna go with that, you want somebody like Myles Garrett, who is actually a game changer on every play. Not somebody who makes maybe three or four plays a game. So, I think that you need to look at that aspect.
Yeah,
of it.
Scared money don't make money, David. I mean, that's the bottom line. Scared money. You guys are all scared. I mean, that's the truth.
No, you're right. No, Joe. I mean, I'm not scared. It's not my money, so I'm okay with it. But you're let's put it from like say a union perspective. Mm-hmm. I've been involved in unions all my life. You cannot sell out your unborn. They're big on saying that. And what you're doing here with giving up two first-round draft picks, you're selling out the unborn. So you're selling out the two picks that we had this year, so you're not going to have that, defense, even though defense doesn't matter. It's still you can't mortgage all that just for instant gratification.
Well, but I see here the thing is, I don't think it's just for instant. I mean, he's 25 years old. He'll be here for years to come. You guys are just worried. It's the cowboy thing. I get it. No one wants a cowboy. I'm just trying to bring in great players. All right, David, give us your game day combo. Favorite one.
Okay, my favorite one, I had a friend, Jeff McCulley, and he said all he needed was a cool buzz and some tasty waves. Now I'm going to change that to a cool buzz and Kelly Green. How's that?
Cool buzz and some Kelly Green. Well, it certainly works for this week here. David, good phone call. 215-592-9494. Best combos for our grand prize giveaway with your phone calls. Plus, Nick Sirianni's full conversation. We'll have it with you next from the morning show. Any rumors we hear, any trades we hear in the Lions trader for Za'Darius Smith this morning, we'll pass it along. NFL trade deadline is today. Would you trade 2-1s for Micah Parsons? And should the Eagles add a running back if they are now a full passing team? All next, midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. The NBA is back, and FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports book, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beaters, place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make every moment more of the season. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're looking for the best game day combos. And you'll be answered today for our grand prize from Gerhard's Appliances and Jack Daniels. We'll get back to all that, all your phone calls here. Would you trade 2-1s for Micah Parsons? I haven't even looked at the poll question. But you know what? I believe in the people today. I believe people are going to vote yes on this. Because obviously you should trade 2-1s for Micah Parsons. Hugh, who claims he wants to get to the Super Bowl, but I don't know if he really does now. He's saying no. Kyle's saying no. Where do you come down? And the running back situation, a sneaky need if the Eagles are going to run the ball as much as they have the last few weeks. Should the Eagles go get another back to pair with Saquon? We'll get back to all your phone calls right now, though. Let's hear from Nick Sirianni. He was on this morning with the morning show. Great conversation, including more about his decision-making on Sunday in that game. Here's Sirianni with Joe and John on the morning show.
Sirianni, good morning, Nick.
Morning, guys. I'm not going to FaceTime you, though.
That would be cool.
That wouldn't work that well on radio. Now, all fair, we'll accept the call. We wouldn't mind that.
It would be so personal.
There you go.
I'd be flattered.
So, Nick, let's start with that. John just touched on it, so let's just get to that, and then we'll get to everything else. But so this connectivity thing, which obviously has been a hallmark of your tenure, where did it come from in your background that I think you lean into it more than most as coaches? And what is the frequency with which you reach out to the guys to try to connect in that way?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think that any team, I think it starts with this. Any team I've ever been on, it's about team. Any good team I've ever been on, it's always been about team. And it's not the best groups of individuals that wins. It's the best teams. It's the teams that are willing to go a little bit harder for, because they don't want to disappoint the guy next to them. That dates all the way back to I'm shooting baskets in my driveway at my house, you know, any summer day. And I can't tell you how many times there was a former player that pulled up and said, "Yeah, I'm back in town. Is your dad home? And I just want to say hi to Coach Sirianni." And always that relationship I thought meant a ton. And then fast forward to when I was in college, I had a pretty significant injury, and it forced me to be in the hospital for about 2 weeks, a football injury. And excuse me. And the day after it happened, we were playing, or 2 days after it happened, we were playing a game. And my head coach, Larry Karras, came into the hospital room, you know, the day of the game. And I don't remember what he said. I don't remember much about that. But you know what I do remember is he sat there, talked with me and my parents for a while. He left. He said, "Hey, Nick, we're going to miss you out there today and the rest of the year." And there was something in me that said, you know, this guy really cares about me. This guy really loves me. And I don't know if I'm capable of being an All-American, but I want to be an All-American for Larry Karras, because I know he cares about me. And, you know, I wasn't good enough to be an All-American. I was second team all OAC, Ohio Athletic Conference in college. But, so I didn't quite reach that feat, but, I did respect the heck out of him, and I did know he cared about me, and I just knew that there was, with those couple moments and those things that you're brought up in, just like anything, it shapes who you are, and it shapes what you believe in, yeah. And it shapes how you lead. And I think those are the things that are there, and then those are the things that you remember most about all the players that you've been around, is the relationships. You admire the plays that they've made, but you admire more the time that you spent with them and the relationships that you have. That's going to last forever.
Yeah, that's important. You know, Nick, I heard a story years ago that when Coach Vermeil was about to coach the Rams in that Super Bowl, shortly before it, I don't know if it's an hour, 2 or 3 hours before the Super Bowl, he called his quarterback from UCLA. And he thanked him for, you know, if that quarterback doesn't do what he does in the 70s, Dick Vermeil probably doesn't become an Eagles head coach. If he doesn't, he probably doesn't coach the Rams in 1999. So that stuff matters. All right, Nick, let's talk
That's
about
awesome. Yeah, That's, it's I got a lot of phone calls to make and thank a lot of players that put me in this spot then today.
There you go. All right, so Nick, let's talk about Sunday. And so obviously some very notable fourth down decisions and 2-point conversion decisions on Sunday, and you said yesterday, and this was the quote, you said, "I think we did the right thing in all those scenarios." So what do you say? And I thought you did in some and not in others, full disclosure. That's what I've been sure. saying the last 2 days. What do you say to the people who disagree with you on 1, 2, 3, 4 of them? What do you say to people who think you got it wrong a couple times?
Sure, yeah. You know, I know that any time a fourth down decision doesn't go the, you know, doesn't succeed, you know, that's going to be a lonely place for myself. And it's also going to be a moment that, you know, I'm going to always have to, you know, look at and say, did I go through the right process, or was I reactionary? Well, everything that I try to teach our guys is to be process oriented. So you're not making rash decisions during the game and like off your hip or whatever. And so all those decisions I made were exactly what they're Eagle football. It's what we've been doing for the last 4 years or last 3.5 years that I've been the head coach. It's been Eagle football, and it's not easy. Obviously, it's not easy, because when it fails, there's going to be criticism, and when it succeeds, you know, no one's really high-fiving me, and that's okay. But you're doing everything you possibly can do to put the team in a position to win. And so those are all decisions that I'll go back. Like, and we were 11-15 on fourth down going into that game, and so, you know, what we're proud of is that we followed our process, and that, you know, there was noise after the New Orleans game that, you know, we shouldn't have done something, or, you know what, and we continued to play Eagle football, of what we know Eagle football is. And it helped us get a lead in the Giants game on a 4th-and-3. It helped us in early on in the Green Bay game on a 4th-and-3 that helped convert to drives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those don't go your way. You're not going to be 100% on those. And I have to be able to do what I think's best for the football team at all times, regardless of public opinion, regardless of criticism. I think that's what leader, you know, you're not going to be popular as a leader at all times. It's just not going to be, it's not the reality of leadership. But leadership is doing everything you think is the right thing to do, not off gut reactions, but off of your process and the preparation that you did, right, to help your team succeed and block out every outside noise. Because if I want my team to block out outside noise when it's good, and I want my team to block out outside noise when it's bad, to just focus on the process, then I sure as heck better do it.
Nick, you talk about the players on a good team. They don't want to disappoint the guys next to them. Do you find that that affects you as a play caller? You know, do you find that you can go for it at times on offense to show the players that you trust them, to reinforce that you believe they can win in that situation?
Of course, yeah. I think that, again, you don't want to let anybody down. That's why you feel so bad when it doesn't go your way, and you feel great when it does. But I think that all comes down to back to the relationships and back to the trust. I have to trust my process of what, again, it's not any numbers that are telling me what to do. It's my trust in the players, right? On a 4th-and-3 against the New York Giants, you know, I think there was a video out that our team put out. It was like, I'm watching this video and I'm remembering what I said. Like, I circled Jalen Hurts and I circled A.J. Brown. I said, I'm going for this right here because I trust the crap out of you guys. Like, you guys have showed me time and time again, like, that you've been successful in this, and we score a touchdown there. You know, and I did, and I trusted them on 4th-and-3 in this game. It didn't go our way this time. But I think it does come down to, again, trusting your process, not being reactionary, not having any influence from any outside noise, and just trusting mm-hmm. what you do, because we spend a lot of time on that, a lot of time. And then trusting, you know, it comes down to trusting your players. We do, like, again, you're on a good team, so you trust your players. I trust A.J. Brown. I trust Devontae Smith. I trust Jalen Hurts. I trust Saquon Barkley. I trust Lane Johnson, Mekhi Becton, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata when he's back, Fred Johnson now. I trust Dallas Goedert. I mean that's been a big reason where we've been able to get leads and have the success we've had, is because we haven't kicked field goals and we've been able to go and get points. But I fully understand, guys, that when it doesn't go your way, there's going to be criticism. But again, you got to do what you think's best for the football team. And that's not blind faith, right? I think that, you know, faith is, you know, we have blind faith in our faith, but then you have faith because of results and what's happened and what you see at practice every day.
Sure.
And what you've seen on Sundays for the last couple of years. And so that's where that conviction, that the process, the trust comes into play.
So, Nick, one of the late decisions, and let's talk about trust from the perspective of the defense. So you go for the 57-yard field goal. What about the trust in the defense to say, if I punt this ball with a good punter, he probably gets the ball around the 10, and I make Trevor Lawrence, and I'll say it, you won't, but a very not good offense, have to go 90 yards against my defense, which has largely dominated the game. I mean, where does that come into the equation in that moment instead of a 57-yarder, which if you miss it, and you do have a good chance to miss it, the ball's sitting right by midfield?
Yeah, I think that's even more trust in your defense to say if you do miss it, you know they're going to stop them, and we did. But I understand. I understand your question.
Sure.
I think the trust comes in Jake and the field goal unit first and foremost. 2 years ago, I put myself the things that we go through with situational game management things. You know, that's going to be a 3-hour meeting that I have today. That's meetings throughout the week, and then that's review of all those things and tapes of these things on Saturday. I put a lot of time into this, and you know, that's my job as a head coach to make sure that we're managing the game the right way. So I take myself back, and you put yourself, and again, the trust that you have in players. You know, a lot of different metrics are used to help me make these decisions. Trust, past experience, analytics, all those things. All those things help you make these decisions. But I think, again, I say again, first and foremost is the trust in the players. So 2 years ago against Green Bay, we were up 7 points. And the ball was actually back a little bit further. It was a little bit more of a windy day. We were going the other way, but we were up 7 points. I believe it was 37-30. In the fourth quarter, and we were, I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's let Jake put us up 2 scores. And he crushed it. He nailed it. It was great operation. And so, you know, it was this very similar one. Now, you're not going to go up 2 scores, but you're going to go up 8. And when you're up 8, it's a different feeling than when you're up 7, because you know that, you know, there's, it's just a little bit of a different feeling.
Sure.
Both offensively and defensively. And so that was in my mind, and I did what I thought in that time was the right thing. It didn't work. So our defense had to play defense with a little bit shorter field, and they did, and they did an awesome job. Nakobe made a great play. You know, it's pretty cool when you win on a walk-off touchdown. So I think that I trusted Jake in that spot. It didn't work this time, and I have no doubt that Jake's one of the most clutch kickers in the NFL. I mean, look at his track record. The last year's Buffalo game, hitting that, and that was to tie it up to go to overtime, but hitting that one from the 42-yard line in the rain and the wind and all that crap. And so, you know, again, you trust in them, and then trust in the defense that if we do miss this, you know, they've been playing pretty darn good football all game, that we can get a stop if we do.
Nick, what's going wrong with the tush push? We've grown unaccustomed to not converting in goal line and short yardage situations, and then all of a sudden we got hit with a couple non-conversions. What went wrong?
Yeah, man, that play's been so electric for – I don't want to say electric because you only gain like 2 yards on it, but like,
right. It's been effective as so all hell.
Yeah. Effective would be the word,
effective.
Yeah.
Effective. Exactly. There you go. That's why you guys talk all day, and effective is the right word. Man, you know what? Hats off to Jacksonville. They did a really good job. And you know what, we're going back to the drawing board. We've had a lot of success there, and we got to do a couple different things coaching wise. That's going to help some things out that I still got a lot of faith in. Cause again, you don't lose faith in something just because of one day. And you know, I know we've missed a couple this year, but you know, I don't know exactly what our percentages are comparatively to last year, but I know it's still been highly productive, more so than other plays and other teams doing it, you know. And so, again, hats off to Jacksonville. They had a good plan. They did a good job. When you load the box and do something to stop it, the other things become there's other opportunities for you. And so we'll continue to press on as coaches to make sure that play is – we still got the right guys to do that play and to do everything there. And so we'll try to help these guys be in better spots. I know we'll work our fundamentals that it takes to be good there. We studied the crap out of what Jacksonville did to stop it, and have some answers to go forward from there, because we know we'll probably see it again.
Nick Sirianni here. Two final things. An all-timer by Saquon, the whole thing, the play, the game, the season, it's all an all-timer. How, though, in like the world can the replay booth determine that Jags defender tripping him did not contribute to him falling? I mean, I thought it was a travesty. What did you make of it? And how shocked were you when you heard the official call upon review?
I was hoping you'd ask me about more about the play that he made than the one that I'm upset about. Yeah,
you can't get fined for talking about his great play, right?
Exactly. I know you guys don't care about the fine.
No, we do care, but it really. I mean, Nick, here's what I'll just say this. So there's a narrative out there that the game was close because the game was close, but I really believe a lot of people have missed the other team being handed 7 points. Like, literally, here you go, other team, here's 7 points. That made the game closer than it would have been.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I think, you know what, it's very, I'll say it this way. I'll always keep my conversations with the league private. I won't ever put those out there, just like I won't with any players or anything like that. And we're still waiting to hear back, so I don't even have that answer yet. But I do know this, and that these things happen to level out as the year goes on. You're going to get some calls, you're going to miss some calls, and you're not going to get some calls. So it's like, this is coming from me, who gets, you know, animated about a call that doesn't go his way at times, right? And so I think I've done a better job at this of not being irate at different calls. And there was a couple times that I was in the game. I felt like with the quarterback sneak on the 2-point conversion that didn't go. I mean, I really still feel like we got in because Jalen reached the ball over the goal line. But those plays, again, we're going to get a call, whether it's in the game that you're playing or a game that you're playing next week. They're all things, they even themselves out. And so I've tried not to get too crazy about anything like that. And I know, and I think you guys should. Like, I'm not telling you guys not to. I think you should. But that's my perspective. That's my perspective on it, that, you know, sometimes they go, you know, the ball, this ball that we play with is this whatever shaped ball, this oval shaped ball that we play with, bounces different ways, and sometimes you get the bounce that you need and sometimes you don't. Like, for instance, Jake's ball hit the goalpost. Sometimes that bounces in and you get a hit off of it. And that's the same way with calls, and they got a hard job to do. That's not my job to criticize them. My job is to coach this team the best I can possibly coach this team to help them be ready to play and win each week.
All right, Nick, final thing, and this is something we've been wondering for a few weeks. Most important thing of all, why does Big Dom have a headset on? What's going on there?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, again, we've had some headset issues. He's just there to help if any headset issues happen right there, have it back up for me there. And so, yeah, I wouldn't look too much into that.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Nick, congratulations on the 4-game winning streak, and good luck versus Dallas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he goes. Nick Sirianni on with the morning show today with Joe and John. A couple things that stood out here. One, he doubled down on thinking that the decisions he made on Sunday were in the best interest of the team.
He's supposed to.
Well, right. And I assume everything he does, he thinks is in the best interest. Doesn't mean I think it is. Doesn't mean you think it is. But he thinks it does.
It's different. Like, the going for two when you're up 16, I told you the story. We're sitting on the sideline, and we're trying to figure out what was the rationale behind that.
Yeah.
Like I said, analytics is a big factor in NFL nowadays. And that's something that when I played, it wasn't a big part of it. So I don't know. I don't know what the analytics told them in that situation. But all I know is they had 32 total yards.
Mm-hmm.
16 in the air and 16 on the ground going into the half. Take that point, man.
Yeah, and I said this yesterday, and I'll repeat it again after hearing Sirianni with the morning show. Anyone can follow a sheet. Like that's not a head coach's job. You have to actually
have a feel for the game.
Understand the game you're in, the team you have that day, the moment in the game. Yes, I understand if there's a penalty on the conversion and you get to put the ball at the one, you have a way higher likelihood of converting the 2-point conversion, and over time that makes sense to go for it. But like you said, Hugh, the ready was a 2-score game. You can make it a 3-score game. And let's be real, the Jaguars were not capable on Sunday of putting together 4 scoring drives. So if you just got up 3 scores, you're probably 1 score away from finishing the game. But that's what it is. I also thought it was funny at the end, they're talking about Big Dom with the headset. Apparently, Nick said it's in case he has headset issues. So Big Dom is
Big Dom,
on backup.
Yeah, Big Dom is the guy. Make sure everything is everything on the sideline.
Making sure everything is everything.
I don't know the job description. I don't.
Well, it's one of the more unique job descriptions in the NFL. Yeah. It is. Good interview there with Joe and John with Nick Sirianni. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Let's go. Frankie and Roxburgh is up today. Hey, Frankie.
Frankie.
What's happening, buddies?
Hey, Frankie.
On, how you doing, Frankie?
I'm doing good. If we win Sunday, mm-hmm. I'm figuring you guys got to let me bring you up some chicken parm and some gabadilis.
What is gabadilis?
Oh, you tell him, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, you're Italian.
Frank, I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's like it's
fraud Italian.
You know what a potato gabadilis is?
No, I don't. No, Frankie, I want to know now.
You heard of gnocchi, right?
Gnocchi. I've heard of that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's like with cheese, and it got cheese in like
well, it's like the,
no, it's
yeah,
potato
it's
pasta.
Potato, yeah.
Yeah, but it got cheese
that's
in it, right?
It doesn't
no,
have to.
No, that's more of a ravioli or a tortellini.
Okay.
Tortellini?
Okay.
You think of tortellini.
A gabadilli is with just cheese. It's right. Not potato. It's much better.
Gabadilli.
Hmm.
Yes.
So do you make it like the gnocchi, but it's different?
Yes. It's just a different, it's made different.
All right, what do you throw on there? Is it like a butter sauce, a vodka sauce? Like, what are we doing?
No,
I think you triggered Joe with the Italian comment.
Marinara sauce.
Marinara.
No, he's trying to prove to John that he's not Italian.
Well, now I'm hungry now, guys. I'm just trying to get a gauge of what he's bringing us.
See right through all this.
Joe trying to get his Italian back.
That's all right. That's it.
Call him a fraud, Frankie.
I'm not.
Call him a fraud.
I've been criticizing Nick Sirianni for years. I've lost my Italian card.
Gabagool.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Frankie.
Yeah, Joe.
The real Italian, Kyle Quinn.
If I bring you the chicken parm and the gabadilli, that'll bring a lot of your memory cells back.
Well, that's probably what that would, Frankie. Frankie,
don't believe you.
He's telling you you're losing your mind.
I forgot you was Italian.
No, I didn't lose my mind. You guys have lost your mind. No one's going to turn down food if you burn. Frankie, what are you thinking about Micah Parsons? You trading for him?
Joe.
Frankie?
You know what? I kind of agree with you, Joe.
See? There we go.
It wouldn't be a bad thing.
We found common ground. There we go. Two ones for Micah Parsons. Tell him, Frankie.
Yes, I like the idea. But how about it? Why don't we just look on a team that's not going nowhere? Maybe we could pick up one of their good pass rushers.
He was trying to get the one from the Cowboys, but the Cowboys ain't going to act right.
He offered two ones, yeah.
Maybe we could get one from Jacksonville.
Could. They've got some good ones. Walker and Allen. Yeah, Frankie, it's a good idea. Frankie, we'll see you soon with some food. So, right, Frankie wants to bring us lunch in here. I don't think anyone's going to turn that down. Yeah, we could go.
You like free man.
We could go basement bargain shopping just like Dombrowski did with Austin Hayes. That's fine. If you guys want the Austin Hayes of the NFL, go get the Austin Hayes of the NFL. I'm trying to bring in a home run hitter. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl.
You see what Joe did, Kyle? He triggered the people by saying Austin Hayes. Now, that ain't cool, Joe.
But you guys want to go full Dombrowski.
No, it's not going for
the win.
Has this pass rush been better? Has this defense in your eyes been better? Hell, it helped you and Kyle's.
That necessity of a thing? Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it helped you and Kyle's narrative out yesterday because they gave up 15 points or whatever.
Narrative?
Yeah.
Well, Brandon Graham on the BG show said they put the number up as 16 on their board.
Ooh, so they want Hugh to shave his beard.
The Eagles believe that they let up 16 defensive points.
Well, no, they said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But still, so it helps y'all narrative
well,
out with
Hugh,
that.
It's your narrative now, too, because you said it was a necessity.
No, I'm just saying. It's not. I don't recall saying
Woo!
That.
The incriminating evidence. All right, 215-592-9494. Your calls on this and your perfect game day combo for our grand prize giveaway brought to you by Jack Daniels and Gerhardt's Appliance. When we come back, we'll get back into something we floated around earlier and what Fangio just said now about whether he wants to add to his defense. 215-592-9494. A lot of your calls coming up. Next day, would you trade two ones for Micah Parsons? I would. Game day combos. And how about a running back at the deadline here? Plus, we got to get into the idea of maybe the Eagles giving up on a player they just recently brought in. That's all next. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilli, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're looking for the best game day combos. And you'll be answered today for our grand prize from Gerhard's Appliances and Jack Daniels. We'll get back to all that, all your phone calls here. Would you trade 2-1s for Micah Parsons? I haven't even looked at the poll question. But you know what? I believe in the people today. I believe people are going to vote yes on this. Because obviously you should trade 2-1s for Micah Parsons. Hugh, who claims he wants to get to the Super Bowl, but I don't know if he really does now. He's saying no. Kyle's saying no. Where do you come down? And the running back situation, a sneaky need if the Eagles are going to run the ball as much as they have the last few weeks. Should the Eagles go get another back to pair with Saquon? We'll get back to all your phone calls right now, though. Let's hear from Nick Sirianni. He was on this morning with the morning show. Great conversation, including more about his decision-making on Sunday in that game. Here's Sirianni with Joe and John on the morning show.
Sirianni, good morning, Nick.
Morning, guys. I'm not going to FaceTime you, though.
That would be cool.
That wouldn't work that well on radio. Now, all fair, we'll accept the call. We wouldn't mind that.
It would be so personal.
There you go.
I'd be flattered.
So, Nick, let's start with that. John just touched on it, so let's just get to that, and then we'll get to everything else. But so this connectivity thing, which obviously has been a hallmark of your tenure, where did it come from in your background that I think you lean into it more than most as coaches? And what is the frequency with which you reach out to the guys to try to connect in that way?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think that any team, I think it starts with this. Any team I've ever been on, it's about team. Any good team I've ever been on, it's always been about team. And it's not the best groups of individuals that wins. It's the best teams. It's the teams that are willing to go a little bit harder for because they don't want to disappoint the guy next to them. That dates all the way back to I'm shooting baskets in my driveway at my house, you know, any summer day. And I can't tell you how many times there was a former player that pulled up and said, "Yeah, I'm back in town. Is your dad home? And I just want to say hi to Coach Sirianni." And always that relationship I thought meant a ton. And then fast forward to when I was in college. I had a pretty significant injury, and it forced me to be in the hospital for about 2 weeks, a football injury. And excuse me. And the day after it happened, we were playing a game, and my head coach, Larry Karras, came into the hospital room. You know, the day of the game, and I don't remember what he said. I don't remember much about that, but you know what I do remember is he sat there, talked with me and my parents for a while. He left. He said, "Hey, Nick, we're going to miss you out there today and the rest of the year." And there was something in me that said, you know, this guy really cares about me. This guy really loves me. And I don't know if I'm capable of being an All-American, but I want to be an All-American for Larry Karras because I know he cares about me. And, you know, I wasn't good enough to be an All-American. I was second team all OAC, Ohio Athletic Conference in college. But, so I didn't quite reach that feat, but, I did respect the heck out of him, and I did know he cared about me, and I just knew that there was, with those couple moments and those things that you're brought up in, it shapes who you are, and it shapes what you believe in, and it shapes how you lead. And I think those are the things that are there, and then those are the things that you remember most about all the players that you've been around is the relationships. You admire the plays that they've made and but you admire more the time that you spent with them and the relationships that you have. That's going to last forever.
Yeah, that's important. You know, Nick, I heard a story years ago that when Coach Vermeil was about to coach the Rams in that Super Bowl, shortly before it, I don't know if it's an hour, 2 or 3 hours before the Super Bowl, he called his quarterback from UCLA. And he thanked him for, you know, if that quarterback doesn't do what he does in the 70s, Dick Vermeil probably doesn't become an Eagles head coach. If he doesn't, he probably doesn't coach the Rams in 1999. So that stuff matters. All right, Nick, let's talk
that's
about
awesome.
Yeah,
that's, it's I got a lot of phone calls to make and thank a lot of players that put me in this spot then today.
There you go. All right, so Nick, let's talk about Sunday. And so obviously some very notable fourth down decisions and 2-point conversion decisions on Sunday, and you said yesterday, and this was the quote, you said, "I think we did the right thing in all those scenarios." So what do you say? And I thought you did in some and not in others, full disclosure. That's what I've been saying the last 2 days. What do you say to the people who disagree with you on 1, 2, 3, 4 of them? What do you say to people who think you got it wrong a couple times?
Sure, yeah. You know, I know that any time a fourth down decision doesn't go the, you know, doesn't succeed, you know, that's going to be a lonely place for myself. And it's also going to be a moment that, you know, I'm going to always have to, look at and say, did I go through the right process, or was I reactionary? Well, everything that I try to teach our guys is to be process oriented. So you're not making rash decisions during the game and like off your hip or whatever. And so all those decisions I made were exactly what they're Eagle football. It's what we've been doing for the last 4 years or last 3.5 years that I've been the head coach. It's been Eagle football, and it's not easy. Obviously, it's not easy, because when it fails, there's going to be criticism, and when it succeeds, you know, no one's really high fiving me, and that's okay. But you're doing everything you possibly can do to put the team in a position to win. And so those are all decisions that I'll go back. Like, and we were 11-15 on fourth down going into that game, and so you know, what we're proud of is that we followed our process, and that, you know, there was noise after the New Orleans game that, you know, we shouldn't have done something, or you know what, and we continued to play Eagle football, what we know Eagle football is, and it helped us get a lead in the Giants game on a 4th-and-3. It helped us early on in the Green Bay game on a 4th-and-3 that helped convert to drives. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those don't go your way. You're not going to be 100% on those, and I have to be able to do what I think's best for the football team at all times, regardless of public opinion, regardless of criticism. I think that's what leader, you know, you're not going to be popular as a leader at all times. It's just not going to be, it's not the reality of leadership. But leadership is doing everything you think is the right thing to do, not off gut reactions, but off of your process and the preparation that you did, right, to help your team succeed and block out every outside noise. Because if I want my team to block out outside noise when it's good, and I want my team to block out outside noise when it's bad, to just focus on the process, then I sure as heck better do it.
Nick, you talk about the players on a good team. They don't want to disappoint the guys next to them. Do you find that that affects you as a play caller? You know, do you find that you can go for it at times on offense to show the players that you trust them, to reinforce that you believe they can win in that situation?
Of course, yeah. I think that, again, you don't want to let anybody down. That's why you feel so bad when it doesn't go your way, and you feel great when it does. But I think that all comes down to back to the relationships and back to the trust. I have to trust my process of what, again, it's not any numbers that are telling me what to do. It's my trust in the players, right? On a 4th-and-3 against the New York Giants, I think there was a video out that our team put out. It was like, I'm watching this video and I'm remembering what I said. Like, I circled Jalen Hurts and I circled AJ Brown. I said, I'm going for this right here because I trust the crap out of you guys. Like, you guys have showed me time and time again, like, that you've been successful in this, and we score a touchdown there. You know, and I did, and I trusted them on 4th-and-3 in this game. It didn't go our way this time. But I think it does come down to, again, trusting your process, not being reactionary, not having any influence from any outside noise, and just trusting mm-hmm. what you do, because we spend a lot of time on that, a lot of time. And then trusting, you know, it comes down to trusting your players. We do, like, again, you're on a good team, so you trust your players. I trust AJ Brown. I trust Devontae Smith. I trust Jalen Hurts. I trust Saquon Barkley. I trust Lane Johnson, Mekhi Becton, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata when he's back, Fred Johnson now. I trust Dallas Goedert. I mean that's been a big reason where we've been able to get leads and have the success we've had, is because we haven't kicked field goals and we've been able to go and get points. But I fully understand, guys, that when it doesn't go your way, there's going to be criticism. But again, you got to do what you think's best for the football team, and that's not blind faith, right? I think that, you know, faith is, you know, we have blind faith in our faith, but then you have faith because of results and what's happened and what you see at practice every day,
sure,
and what you've seen on Sundays for the last couple of years. And so that's where that conviction, that the process, the trust comes into play.
So, Nick, one of the late decisions, and let's talk about trust from the perspective of the defense. So you go for the 57-yard field goal. What about the trust in the defense to say, if I punt this ball with a good punter, he probably gets the ball around the 10, and I make Trevor Lawrence, and I'll say it, you won't, but a very not good offense, have to go 90 yards against my defense, which has largely dominated the game. I mean, where does that come into the equation in that moment instead of a 57-yarder, which if you miss it, and you do have a good chance to miss it, the ball's sitting right by midfield?
Yeah, I think that's even more trust in your defense to say if you do miss it, you know they're going to stop them, and we did. But I understand. I understand your question.
Sure.
I think the trust comes in Jake and the field goal unit first and foremost. 2 years ago, I put myself, the things that we go through with situational game management things, you know, that's going to be a 3-hour meeting that I have today. That's meetings throughout the week. And then that's review of all those things and tapes of these things on Saturday. I put a lot of time into this and, you know, that's my job as a head coach, to make sure that we're managing the game the right way. So I take myself back and you put yourself, and again, the trust that you have in players. You know, a lot of different metrics are used to help me make these decisions. Trust, past experience, analytics, all those things. All those things help you make these decisions. But I think, again, I say again, first and foremost is the trust in the players. So 2 years ago against Green Bay, we were up 7 points. And the ball was actually back a little bit further. It was a little bit more of a windy day. We were going the other way, but we were up 7 points. I believe it was 37-30. In the fourth quarter, and we were, I'm like, okay, here we go. Let's let Jake put us up 2 scores. And he crushed it and he nailed it. It was great operation. And so, you know, it was this very similar one. Now you're not going to go up 2 scores, but you're going to go up 8. And when you're up 8, it's a different feeling than when you're up 7, because you know that, you know, it's just a little bit of a different feeling.
Sure.
Both offensively and defensively. And so that was in my mind, and I did what I thought in that time was the right thing. It didn't work. So our defense had to play defense with a little bit shorter of a field, and they did, and they did an awesome job. Nakobe made a great play. It's pretty cool when you win on a walk-off touchdown. So I think that I trusted Jake in that spot. It didn't work this time, and I have no doubt that Jake's one of the most clutch kickers in the NFL. I mean, look at his track record. The last year's Buffalo game, hitting that, and that was to tie it up to go to overtime, but hitting that one from the 42-yard line in the rain and the wind and all that crap. And so, you know, again, you trust in them and then trust in the defense that if we do miss this, you know, they've been playing pretty darn good football all game, that we can get a stop if we do.
Nick, what's going wrong with the tush push? We've grown unaccustomed to not converting in goal line and short yardage situations, and then all of a sudden we got hit with a couple non-conversions. What went wrong?
Yeah, man, that play's been so electric for – I don't want to say electric because you only gain like 2 yards on it, but like, right.
Effective is all hell.
Yeah. Effective would be the word, yeah.
Effective. Exactly. There you go. That's why you guys talk all day, and effective is the right word. Man, you know what? Hats off to Jacksonville. They did a really good job. And you know what? We're going back to the drawing board. We've had a lot of success there, and we got to do a couple different things coaching wise. That's gonna help some things out. That I still got a lot of faith in it. I still, like, because again, you don't lose faith in something just because of one day. And you know, I know we've missed a couple this year, but you know, I don't know exactly what our percentages are comparatively to last year. But I know it's still been highly productive, more so than other plays and other teams doing it, you know. And so, again, hats off to Jacksonville. They had a good plan. They did a good job. When you load the box and do something to stop it, the other things become there's other opportunities for you. And so we'll continue to press on as coaches to make sure that play is – we still got the right guys to do that play and to do everything there. And so we'll try to help these guys be in better spots. I know we'll work our fundamentals that it takes to be good there. We studied the crap out of what Jacksonville did to stop it, and have some answers to go forward from there, because we know we'll probably see it again.
Nick Sirianni here. Two final things. An all-timer by Saquon, the whole thing, the play, the game, the season, it's all an all-timer. How, though, in like the world can the replay booth determine that Jags defender tripping him did not contribute to him falling? I mean, I thought it was a travesty. What did you make of it? And how shocked were you when you heard the official call upon review?
I was hoping you'd ask me about more about the play that he made than the one that I'm upset about. Yeah,
you can't get fined for talking about his great play, right?
Exactly. I know you guys don't care about the fine.
No, we do care, but it really. I mean, Nick, here's what I'll just say this. So there's a narrative out there that the game was close because the game was close, but I really believe a lot of people have missed the other team being handed 7 points. Like, literally, here you go, other team, here's 7 points. That made the game closer than it would have been.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I think, you know what, it's very, I'll say it this way. I'll always keep my conversations with the league private. I won't ever put those out there, just like I won't with any players or anything like that. And we're still waiting to hear back, so I don't even have that answer yet. But I do know this, and that these things happen to level out as the year goes on. You're going to get some calls, you're going to miss some calls, and you're not going to get some calls. So it's like. And this is coming from me, who gets, you know, animated about a call that doesn't go his way at times, right? And so, I think I've done a better job at this of not, you know, not being irate at different calls. And there was a couple times that I was in the game. I felt like with the quarterback sneak on the 2-point conversion that didn't go. I mean, I really still feel like we got in because Jalen reached the ball over the goal line. But those plays, again, we're going to get a call, whether it's in the game that you're playing or a game that you're playing next week. They're all things, they even themselves out. And so I've tried not to get too crazy about anything like that. And I know, and I think you guys should. Like, I'm not telling you guys not to. I think you should. But that's my perspective. That's my perspective on it, that, you know, sometimes they go, you know, the ball, this ball that we play with is this whatever shaped ball, this oval shaped ball that we play with, bounces different ways, and sometimes you get the bounce that you need, and sometimes you don't. Like, for instance, Jake's ball hit the goalpost. Yeah. Sometimes that bounces in, and you get a hit off of it. And that's the same way with calls. And they got a hard job to do. That's not my job to criticize them. My job is to coach this team the best I can possibly coach this team to help them be ready to play and win each week.
All right, Nick. Final thing, and this is something we've been wondering for a few weeks. Most important thing of all, why does Big Dom have a headset on? What's going on there?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, again, we've had some headset issues. He's just there to help if any headset issues happen right there, have it back up for me there. And so, yeah, I wouldn't look too much into that.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Nick, congratulations on the 4-game winning streak, and good luck versus Dallas, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go.
All right, there he goes. Nick Sirianni on with the morning show today with Joe and John. A couple things that stood out here. One, he doubled down on thinking that the decisions he made on Sunday were in the best interest of the team.
He's supposed to.
Well, right. And I assume everything he does, he thinks is in the best interest. Doesn't mean I think it is. Doesn't mean you think it is, but he thinks it does.
It's different. It's different. Like, the going for two when you're up 16, I told you the story. We're sitting on the sideline, and we're trying to figure out what was the rationale behind that.
Yeah.
Like I said, analytics is a big factor in NFL nowadays. And that's something that when I played, it wasn't a big part of it. So I don't know. I don't know what the analytics told them in that situation. But all I know is they had 32 total yards.
Mm-hmm.
16 in the air and 16 on the ground going into the half. Take that point, man.
Yeah, and I said this yesterday, and I'll repeat it again after hearing Sirianni with the morning show. Anyone can follow a sheet. Like that's not a head coach's job. You have to actually
have a feel for
the game. Understand the game you're in, the team you have that day, the moment in the game. Yes, I understand if there's a penalty on the conversion and you get to put the ball at the one, you have a way higher likelihood of converting the 2-point conversion, and over time that makes sense to go for it. But like you said, Hugh, the ready was a 2-score game. You can make it a 3-score game. And let's be real, the Jaguars were not capable on Sunday of putting together 4 scoring drives. So if you just got up to 3 scores, you're probably 1 score away from finishing the game. But, well, you know, that's what it is. I also thought it was funny at the end, they're talking about Big Dom with the headset. Apparently, Nick said it's in case he has headset issues. So Big Dom is
Big Dom,
on backup.
Yeah, Big Dom is the guy. He makes sure everything is everything on the sideline.
Making sure everything is everything.
I don't know the job description. I don't.
Well, it's one of the more unique job descriptions in the NFL. Yeah. It is. Good interview there with Joe and John with Nick Sirianni. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Let's get Frankie in Roxborough is up today. Hey, Frankie.
Frankie.
What's happening, buddies?
Hey, Frankie.
On, man? How you doing, Frankie?
I'm doing good. If we win Sunday, mm-hmm. I'm figuring you guys got to let me bring you up some chicken parm and some gabbadillis.
What is gabbadillis?
Oh, you tell him, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, you're Italian.
Frank, I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's
fraud Italian.
You know what a potato gabbadillo is?
No, I don't. No, Frankie, I want to know now.
You heard of gnocchi, right?
Gnocchi. I've heard of that.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
That's like with cheese, and it got cheese in like a...
Well, it's like
potato pasta.
Potato, yeah.
Yeah, but it got cheese
that's
in it, right?
It doesn't have to.
No, that's more of a ravioli or a tortellini.
Okay.
Tortellini?
Okay.
You think of tortellini.
A gabbadilli is with just cheese. It's right. Not potato. It's much better.
Gabbadilli.
Hmm.
Yes.
So do you make it like the gnocchi, but it's different?
Yes. It's just a different... It's made different.
All right, what do you throw on there? Is it like a butter sauce, a vodka sauce? Like, what are we doing?
No,
I think you just regular, Joe with the Italian comment.
Marinara sauce.
Marinara.
No, he's trying to prove to that he's not Italian.
Well, now I'm hungry now, guys. I'm just trying to get a gauge of what he's bringing us.
See right through all this.
Joe trying to get his Italian back.
That's all right. That's it.
Call him a fraud, Frankie. Call him a fraud.
I've been criticizing Nick Sirianni for years. I've lost my Italian card.
Gabagool.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Frankie.
Yeah, Joe.
The real Italian, Kyle Quinn.
It'll bring. If I bring you the chicken parm and the gabbadilli, that'll bring a lot of your memory cells back.
Well, that's probably what that would, Frankie. Frankie,
don't believe you.
He's telling you're losing your mind.
I forgot you was Italian.
No, I didn't lose my mind. You guys have lost your mind. No one's going to turn down food if you burn. Frankie, what are you thinking about Micah Parsons? You trading for him?
Joe.
Frankie?
You know what? I kind of agree with you, Joe.
See? There we go.
It wouldn't be a bad thing.
We found common ground. There we go. Two ones for Micah Parsons. Tell him, Frankie.
Yes, I like the idea. But how about it? Why don't we just look on a team that's not going nowhere? Maybe we could pick up one of their good pass rushers.
He was trying to get the one from the Cowboys, but the Cowboys ain't going to act right.
Two ones, yeah.
Maybe we could get one from Jacksonville.
Could. They've got some good ones. Walker and Allen. Yeah, Frankie, it's a good idea. Frankie, we'll see you soon with some food. So, right, Frankie wants to bring us lunch in here. I don't think anyone's going to turn that down. Yeah, we could go.
You like free meal.
We could go basement bargain shopping just like Dombrowski did with Austin Hayes. That's fine. If you guys want the Austin Hayes of the NFL, go get the Austin Hayes of the NFL. I'm trying to bring in a home run hitter. I'm trying to win the Super Bowl.
You see what Joe did, Kyle? He triggered the people by saying Austin Hayes. Now, that ain't cool, Joe.
But you guys want to go full Dombrowski.
No, we're not. It's not going for the
win.
Has this pass rush been better? Has this defense in your eyes been better? Hell, it helped you and Kyle's.
That necessity of a thing? Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it helped you and Kyle's narrative out yesterday because they gave up 15 points or whatever.
Narrative?
Yeah.
Well, Brandon Graham on the BG show said they put the number up as 16 on their board.
Ooh, so they want Hugh to shave his beard.
The Eagles believe that they let up 16 defensive points.
Well, no, they said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But still, so it helps y'all narrative
well,
out with
Hugh,
that.
It's your narrative now, too, because you said it was a necessity.
No, I'm just saying. It's not. I don't recall saying that.
The incriminating evidence. All right, 215-592-9494. Your calls on this and your perfect game day combo for our grand prize giveaway brought to you by Jack Daniels and Gerhard's Appliance. When we come back, we'll get back into something we floated on earlier and what Fangio just said now about whether he wants to add to his defense. 215-592-9494. A lot of your calls coming up. Next day, would you trade two ones for Micah Parsons? I would. Game day combos. And how about a running back at the deadline here? Plus, we got to get into the idea of maybe the Eagles giving up on a player they just recently brought in. That's all next. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.